The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 408. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Majoma.
What up, what up?
All right, people, you already know we're back with another one.
There's also one thing we also need to say to Mr. Seeley.
Happy birthday. Yeah, man.
It's tomorrow.
23.
23 years old, you know? We hardly knew you, man. Yo, Chris, you there, man? Oh, he's a little sudden up.
He's a silent assassin.
We haven't even started. Piggy Dance already throwing the bits at us, man. Yeah. Adam, did you see the email? He's asking, did you see the email?
Yeah, I saw the email. That's right. It's every member. It's his birthday.
Oh, man. All right. We're not going to waste any time. Let's get into it.
Tacos in the mail.
That's it. We're going to talk about Phil Spencer for the next hour.
Oh, gee.
Oh boy.
We are the Spencer down. Spencer's been on a couple episodes.
I thought we were the pony down. Yeah, well, Phil Spencer, he's making waves. So he had a interview with the Wall Street Journal. It was like a live thing, apparently. A bunch of news outlets were there covering it and stuff. And he said a bunch of, you know, he talked about a bunch of various topics, obviously. And a lot of news came out of that. Which we will be discussing. Let's get into it. Who left? Oh, Chris.
That was Chris.
He just came for the birthday.
Yeah, he just came. Yes, you know, he just wanted that. Hold on, let's see what happens now.
He's back.
He's back. He's back for the attack, but he's not muted.
Oh, he has.
Chris, do we have you now? Oh.
Uh oh.
He may need to restart his shit. His Discord don't like him. You know, think it might be racist. You know.
Uh oh.
Anyways, let's get into it. So yeah, again, Phil Spencer talked about a wide variety of things, so we're going to cover some of those pertinent ones to us gamers. The first one is something that should not shock anyone, and it'll probably be very upsetting to some Xbox guys that are using this as ammo against PlayStation. You know, PlayStation has been raising up the price of their games and stuff, so obviously some Xbox guys were like, hey, your games are 60, or we just play on Game Pass. Guess what? All that shit's about to go up eventually. According to Mr. Phil Spencer.
Mm-hmm. So, we knew this. Everything goes up. Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah. The funny thing is he actually did say this same thing a while ago. Not too long ago, but this generation. And I guess everybody forgot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're buying all these companies. And it's like, how the hell are you going to pay for all this?
Yeah. Once they started, they raised it before when they added EA. So we knew. I mean, this is what's going to happen. You're going to add all these other services. And we're like, hey, think about it. You're getting more bang for your buck. There's more stuff in here that you don't have to buy for an extra $5 or whatever. Because the question now is how much will be the first hike? Well, the next hike is just because it's already had a first hike.
Yeah. I'm going to read what Phil Spencer said. He goes, I do think at some point we'll have to raise the price on certain things. But going into this holiday, we thought it was important to maintain prices. We've held price on our consoles. We've held price on our games. We held price on our subscription. I don't think we'll be able to do that forever. I do think at some point we'll have to raise certain prices on certain things. So, yep. There you go.
He's not dumb. I mean, this is when it comes to right now with all the prices, recession, all that stuff going on. Gaming, when if you're looking to stretch your dollar, you're not going to go and spend on that $70 game or whatever. It'll be like, we'll just keep playing this shit. We'll wait for the discount. It's not a good time to raise prices yet. Wait till things even out a little more.
So, you know, I will say this. If they raise up the price now, it'll seem kind of ludicrous. Like, I hope that when they start raising the prices, if they do anytime soon, it's when the first party big games start coming out. Like,
yeah, right.
Gotta give some reason. Yeah, some incentive.
Yeah, like you gotta give the crowd like, hey, you know, you know, this game release is pretty badass. Now we got Senua's Sacrifice 2 or whatever the new game is going to come out. You know, Senua's Saga, there it is. Hellblade 2. whenever that comes out as well, like those types of games that people have been waiting for years now, hopefully they can use that time to take advantage. Because, you know, I know I understand some of the criticism, but I understand that most of it is probably just fanboy talk.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we all knew this was going to go up.
It's got to be young fanboy talk, because, I mean, anybody that has been around with any service knows prices just go up. That's just the way it is. And
spoiler alert, PSN is going to go up in the next couple of years as well.
Uh-oh.
That's what just what happened.
Well, in a way, it has already. They added two other tiers.
Yeah, didn't it already go up?
That already counts as going up.
Well, I mean, it's going to keep going up. Trust me. Trust me. Listen.
That's a question. Then,
like, give me your fucking money.
If somebody add that for throw down your questions, how high is too high for these subscriptions? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because 15 bucks. So I pay 15 bucks. I kind of pay 15 bucks a month because I got the deals. But for Ultimate, which is the PC and Xbox subscription for Game Pass, so that's 15 bucks a month. I feel like if they raise it to like 17, I think that should be okay. If they raise it to 20, that's a freaking stretch. I feel like that'll be kind of crazy if you ask me.
What is Netflix? Netflix jumped up to 20, right? Was that it? Or was it 24? Well,
Netflix is doing all of these weird
things. I'm just wondering if it's like big one, because I know Disney is jumping up to 24 or something like that. For the bundle service.
For the ESPN Plus and
And the Hulu. They want to really boost that one up.
I don't know what that one is.
I don't know, but anyways,
Netflix has like, I think they have like a $17 or $18 tier, something like that, for like 4K and multiple streams. But yeah, because their top tier stuff is like almost $20.
Was it? I think Microsoft right now has two tiers. There's one that has a Game Pass, and then there's just the regular Xbox service that you don't need to pay for the Game Pass part. I think it's like $10 less. Maybe it's $5. I don't know. And then we got the family one. And I'm sure if they do decide to raise the price, maybe if they release it around not just big titles, but also around the family plan, so sort of sweeten the blow. And I was like, oh, the price is going up. But yeah, guess what? You and your buddies can now do a family plan and partner together. And yeah, we got some old buddy games coming back. Yeah. There you go. Call your boys. Sign up.
So here are the pricing for all of them. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is $14.99 a month, so that's $15. PC Game Pass is $10 a month.
There you go.
Xbox Game Pass for console is $10 a month, and Xbox Live Gold is $10.
Yeah.
So everything's $10 a month, except if we're talking about Ultimate, which is $15.
So then you're saving $5 for bundling, because if you did them separate, that's $20 for the Game Pass and for Xbox Live Gold. But if you bundle it, you'll save $5 if you want to sign up for $14.99, because that's how they try to get people to do it.
The Xbox Live, I didn't even know this was still around. It says the subscription includes two free games to play each month, online, multiplayer.
It's there. When you go to your library section, you'll see there's a new tab at the top, like a new ribbon, and it shows games owned, this, blah, and then one of them says games with gold. And not only will it show the ones that you have, but it'll show the current active ones. So if you want to download it, you could do it from there.
I was thinking, what's the point of getting gold if you have Game Pass? But yeah, you get those two free games every month. Mm-hmm, I guess that's a perk.
And then if you don't, and I know some people are like, oh, well, I'll just cut off the PC part because I don't need it. But if you do that, it also cuts off the EA stuff. You lose that. That's the only part. Yeah, that's the only part with the Ultimate version of Game Pass, which gives you the PC. If you just want Game Pass,
It's also on the PC version, but it's only PC only. So the EA Play on Ultimate is both console.
All right, we're gonna try this one more time. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Good stuff, man. Chris, what do you think about Phil Spencer saying they're gonna jack up the price of Xbox and, you know, games, console subscriptions eventually?
I mean, while nobody likes it, they were trying that before. Remember, they were increasing the the price of
just gold. Yeah, they wanted
just gold.
Yeah,
they almost doubled it, right? Yeah. And then the backlash was so bad they draw it back. But this was coming. Especially they're gonna do that and push, like, so the people can handle it. Like, if you don't care, you're just like, I need to own, like, and then you use air quotes if you buy it digitally, whatever. Hmm. Own the game, right? You're paying the 70 or 80 bucks or whatever he ups it to. And for other people, they're going to be like, maybe Game Pass is worth it. Either way, you're putting money in their pocket, right? This is just the calculated misery. It's like, well, if you're willing to own the game, you know, you'll pay our price. If not, well, we got Game Pass. You can do that. So that's inevitable, and that they're going to do that, especially that Xbox revenue is kind of, I don't know, I looked at those financials and they were a little confusing.
Whoa, yeah, we will get to that, you know.
But it's not making the kind of revenue that it's probably expected from Microsoft. Although I have to say, like, their Office commercial products is really losing money. So I don't think that Xbox has to worry too much.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into those financials later. Some interesting things to delve in there. All right, so that's one of the first things Phil Spencer said. Another one we have here is he said that not only does Microsoft want to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation, they also want to bring it to Switch.
Yeah, he had brought that up before, though.
Yeah.
When he said he wanted to get it on all platforms, on platforms it hasn't been on. There you go.
Switch. We know.
He can do that, though. He can bring the mobile, that crap-ass mobile version. Go ahead, bring that shit.
So just real quick, this is what he says. In January, we provided a signed agreement to Sony to guarantee Call of Duty on PlayStation with feature and content parity for at least several more years beyond the current Sony contract, an offer that goes well beyond typical gaming industry agreements. That's the that's what Jim Ryan was not happy about, you know?
But wait, you said the key part right there, signed. He said they signed it. I thought Jim Ryan said he refused to sign it.
No, they signed with Activision before Microsoft bought them, understand?
Oh, but the wording sounded like, oh, I was there, like Phil was there present, and we signed for multi-year, and everything is cool.
No, Adam, we provided a signed agreement. We don't know if Sony signed it yet. They did provide it. Yeah.
Because, I'm pretty sure when we heard from Jim Ryan was that he didn't like the deal, and he wasn't going to sign it, and he was like, I'll see your ass in court in Brazil. Let's do this. Yeah.
In Brazil. Brazil.
Right, wasn't that where that's where it broke out first, right?
Yeah, it did break out over there. But they provided Sony with a signed agreement.
Brazil.
And, you know, we don't know what's happening with that.
I heard something that they already got passed through there. Like, they're doing so much other shit.
Well, they approved it. Like, they approved
it. They're like, just go. Just get the fuck out of here.
I think the UK.
We got problems. We don't even have a government.
Was
right
the
now.
UK approved it, Carlos?
No, I think UK is one of the last ones to have.
It was the EU or some other area over there. Somebody proved it. It was on Tuesday, because I was in the office and everybody was like, it's over. They did it. Oh, okay.
You guys at the celebration of Endor?
Yeah, we did that. We did the elbow claps and stuff. No handshakes. We don't do that shit. No high fives.
You didn't do that. You did.
Motherfuckers got cooties, man. They dirty bitches.
You did the alternate Ewok song, not the Yub Yub song.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Damn, what was I gonna say? We know. I mean, for me, this is like a Phil Spencer wink wink, where he's like, we definitely want to put this in on the Switch. We want to put this on the PlayStation. We want to put this on the toaster. But
they want to make as much money as possible.
As a matter of fact, he actually said that. He says that the reason they bought Activision was really more for the mobile aspect of it, mm-hmm. which is interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because that mobile shit makes a lot of money.
Yeah, they said they want to treat it like Minecraft, basically.
Yeah,
but you know how they want people to experience this is through Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's their in. You know, that's their Trojan horse.
Well, even, and I don't know if Nintendo will let them do the Game Pass thing, but if they get Call of Duty on there, that'll most likely definitely be the mobile one, because that'll be easy port over. But then they get you with all the microtransactions and all that shit. That's how that one makes money, because that's a free to play.
I mean, I think if you're doing something on the Switch, and then the Switch in particular, if they release something else afterwards, then all hands on deck. But with a Switch, it has to be all streaming.
It has to be. You can't think about the game. What is it? 120 fucking gigs or something? Probably more than that. Come on now.
Yep.
You know,
we don't believe Vita it can one? Run, oh but it's not even going to fit in the thing.
Yeah, so I mean that's their goal right there apparently, but it makes sense from a business standpoint. But you can't get that shit running on Switch, you know? It's impossible.
Oh, you'll be careful, Tony.
Yeah. Wait, GTA 5 ain't on there yet, is there? Oh, you know?
On my Steam Deck. Oh.
Where's it at? You know?
And remember those days, man?
This the job walked by, and he saw me playing, and I was playing the Forza Horizon 4. He's like, yo, what did you do to your Switch? Like, what?
You thought it was a Switch?
Yeah. Yo, that shit looked crazy. What did you do?
Like, it's a Steam Deck, baby.
It's a what?
Like would you call my mama?
Yeah, my daughter saw it too, and then she's like, "Ooh, you got a funny looking Switch." I was like,
"Like that's right."
Like this is the daddy Switch. Yeah, yours is the kid Switch.
Exactly. You mispronounced better.
Oh
yeah. I just want to read this again. Phil Spencer with the quotes, man. Of Call of Duty specifically will be available on PlayStation. I'd love to see it on Switch. I'd love to see the game playable on many screens. Our intent is to treat Call of Duty like Minecraft. Yeah, there you
gotta
go.
Make that money. Gotta make the money.
Yeah. I don't know. Very
but, just like all the other ones, because even with Minecraft and other ones, they do perks when you're part of Game Pass. You get like other monies and stuff and gems. They do all that. That's probably what will happen. It'll still be the same ones on all of them, but they'll give you some extra shit just for being part of the family, that type of thing.
Yeah, but yeah, running on Switch, get out of here.
The phone, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be
the phone. It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be through that. All right, another thing Mr. Spencer talked about is he said that Xbox Game Pass growth is slowing down on console. Very interesting. But here's something else that came out of it. I'm pretty sure Chris will touch on this later. Xbox Game Pass is actually profitable now. You know, remember, it was not profitable for a very long time. It is now. It's actually what is it? 10 to 15% of Xbox's revenue, or is that Microsoft's revenue, Chris? I'm guessing it's Xbox. No way it's Microsoft's, you know? No way.
Yeah, I think it's Xbox revenue. Yeah.
So good on them, but yeah, it's apparently slowing down.
Because they got no games.
There's no games. Yeah, I was just about to say that. No
games.
That's it.
Think of all the money that people were going to sell up just to play that, the one that was coming out, Starfield. Right.
This is interesting. He says, I've seen slow growth mainly at some point. You've reached everybody on console that wants to subscribe. He's being very precise about this on console. Because remember, the real goal with Xbox Game Pass is to get people on mobile to get that shit. Because then you have like a billion people,
Yeah, I mean, I think also it's partially they need to grow their console base at this point. Like at a certain point, it's a sales tactic towards, an entrenched customer base. Then once you've saturated that, then it has to be a sales point for the console itself. And I think that's kind of the pivot they need to make at this point. Because they already have 15 million? Their install base is 60 million. So it's 25% install base at any given time. That's fucking huge. That's a very high attach rate. You just need more Xboxes, and you're not going to get more Xboxes until you start putting games on that service.
Yeah.
I'm really wondering if Starfield will change things. Cause the whole talk about no games. I had thought about oh shit, when the next Elder Scrolls comes out, what's that going to be like? How's that discussion going to change? And I kind of realized Starfield is kind of poised to be a successful, a decade-long game like Skyrim was, like Fallout generally is. So I'm interested to see once the game comes out, if it gets good reviews, if the discussion will change.
Probably.
I mean, how many big games do you have to have games?
At this point, Microsoft doesn't even have one game yet, so they need something, So Starfield will be that just by default, because it is a game,
Come out with other games, just nothing that high profile. I mean, so once they have that out and Senua's Sacrifice, is that when people are going to start saying they have games? Do they have to have, three tentpole games? I think it might be time to clarify what some of this means, because I'll be honest, PlayStation doesn't have a whole lot of games either, right?
Yeah, here's
the thing. But they, quote, have games. So I'm wondering where the line in the sand is. That's all.
Well, no, because with PlayStation, they don't have a lot of PS5 exclusives, but they do have PlayStation exclusives. But Xbox does, if we're going to do just exclusives, Xbox does have those. Halo.
I think Forza. We generally go off announced exclusives, though. Like, we know all the IPs that Sony owns and all the IP that Microsoft owns, but that doesn't mean jack shit.
Yeah. But I think people are talking about, like, just the fact that for current gen, like, I think PlayStation has three, and that's still more than Xbox has, which is none, you know? I think that's what people are going at. But, Starfield, that'll change the conversation. So will all those other games when they eventually start coming out. I think once you get a good 4-5 games or something, let's be generous, 3 games in 1 year, then I think the narrative will start shifting. Although Starfield itself might be a big narrative shift. The instant that game comes out, you can no longer say Xbox has no games. That kind of stops it right there, you know, in a way. People could say, oh, it's only one game, but it's still a game. You know, it's still something, but we'll see. It'll be interesting. But you're right. Once you start getting Starfields, then Xbox consoles will start selling again, and Xbox Game Pass will, you know, the numbers will go up on consoles. But again, I think Microsoft really wants it to take off on mobile. That's what they really, they've said it. They you know, I'm not, that's, this isn't my opinion. They've said this. We want the mobile market. There's a billion of these motherfuckers. They said it, not in those words, you know? It's interesting, man.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them. Yeah. But the problem with that is the PC or the mobile market is so fucking toxic. Like, they just rely on whales and just it's just a goddamn dumpster fire. I don't know if that, like, despite what the money says, is that really a profitable sector in the sense that, like, you can prepare and anticipate? Because it kind of sounds like trying to be a fucking K-pop star. Like, every once in a while, it just fucking happens. Nobody knows exactly how to do it or a roadmap to get there. But, like, you want to have the next Angry Birds. Okay, there's been one Angry Birds, right? Like, how successful is truly a lot of mobile gaming?
Well, the thing is, mobile gaming
brings it for a ton. Yeah. But it's all $2 and $3, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, since people are constantly buying all this stuff, you know, it adds up. Yeah, microtransactions. So, yeah, remember, when you're talking about gaming in general, mobile gaming is the biggest portion of all gaming. It brings in more money than everything. You know, but the other aspect that I would bring up, and this is anecdotal, but it's based on your experience, Brett, people who play mobile games aren't in the same headspace as people who play console games. Remember, you literally gave a customer a Switch, like, play this, like, no, I want to play my phone game instead, you know?
Yeah.
Because they just like the simple little clicky games, you know, they don't want anything that's, like, involved, you know?
Well, no, it's because it's fucking addictive.
Yeah, that's the other reason it's so successful.
You're playing your Clash of Clans, you are, like, tied to that. Like, no, I don't want to play a video game. I want to scratch my itch.
Yeah.
And, like, that's cool, but, like, I don't really... How are gamers going to react when... Well, I was about to say when they start using these horrible business practices.
Well, you've seen how that happened. You remember Battlefield... Star Wars Battlefield 2? Or whatever the fuck it's called, Battlefront? Remember that shit? You know, when they tried to bring...
The very nature of mobile gaming's profitability seems an antithesis to the values of the gaming community. So I'm curious to see how Microsoft would, you know, balance that act.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Yeah, because microtransactions, that's a dirty word among gamers, you know. But, you know, to, like, normies that play these fucking clicky games, that's
all it is.
Of course, that's all it is, yeah. And, yes, that's what I call mobile games, the clicky games. Just, you just click. That's all you do. You know,
when I realized when I didn't, you know, the whole anecdotal stuff for me is always my parents. My mom, she got her first smartphone or her first cell phone like 5 years ago. She's always playing those fucking mobile games.
Yeah, my mom. If a gamer is the amount of games you play or amount of time, my mom is way more of a gamer than I am because she just Angry Birds all fucking day. You know. It's
fucking crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. It is wild, but there you go. All right, what else is going on here? Phil Spencer says Xbox game streaming console is years away. But that already tells you right there, it's coming. You know, I've said this before, people. We've said this before. Excuse me. Xbox or Microsoft is a software company, right? So if they could not sell you hardware and just have you subscribe to their software, they're gonna do that, you know.
Yep.
So no surprise. We've
been saying this forever.
Yep.
Forever.
Yeah, because
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
At these at these days, you know, these days, the freaking discs that you buy at the stores are just placeholders for, you know, a key or something to download the game. So it's, you know, it's all, you're going to get all these digital platforms now. And, you know, we've predicted the whole Xbox might even, well, I think I was only predicted it, but
Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo with a whole, you know, why don't you do a Surface tablet that's an Xbox branded Surface tablet? You can play all your games. You don't need a big ass GPU or anything like that, or that much power. All you have to do is use the xCloud, and that's it. That's all you need. So you can sell it as a streaming console on the go. You know, all you need is an internet connection and a Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscription, and that's it.
You know, that could actually probably put a real dent in iPad sales, because if you think about it, the way PCs worked is Apple's were killing it until they didn't integrate gaming correctly. Well, and then they lost the gaming sphere forever, and PCs really took off.
I don't know. The tablet market is a weird one, man, because it seemed like there was this huge boom, and then they've been dying off, but Apple's still the king.
Well, it's because the iPad is so clearly trouncing everything else.
Yeah, it's the most dominant thing.
It's a zeitgeist, you know, tablet.
And they don't die. They last forever, which is why they're having trouble selling the new ones. Because the other ones...
November. They become industry standards, just like the old Macs did, especially amongst artists and producers. Like, you get people making music and visual art on a computer, and it kind of becomes the industry standard for production, right?
Using Pro Tools.
Apple had a crazy hold on that. But then it started drifting away when people started using their PCs for more than just work.
Well, you know, the thing it drifted away was when Apple pissed off Adobe, because Adobe used to be totally mostly supported just the Mac users in the beginning or early on, and then they just
I forgot about that,
and then they just so it started moving out. Even though Windows was available on PC and everything, but they started essentially just not choosing favorites.
Man, this is all sounding a lot like work to me. This conversation.
Yeah.
No, I just find it funny you guys are talking about the iPad and the Surface. I'm like, yeah, they're both right over there on that table.
Mm-hmm. But you can't talk about that because that would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it would be. So I'm not going to say shit, you know? okay, so this is interesting. So remember, I think it was a couple weeks ago, Phil, you know, somebody caught something on Phil Spencer's like background, because it's always something in his background catches headlines and shit.
Yeah, it was the Kojima Productions Spaceman.
No. This was, people were like, is that the Xbox streaming console? And yes, it actually was. It's called the Keystone. So this is what Phil Spencer had to say about that. Keystone was the code name of something we were incubating internally, which was a streaming console. So there's no local gameplay, low cost, plug it into a TV and you'll be able to stream Xbox games. In the late spring, we pivoted to working with Samsung. We put an app on Samsung TVs that lets you play Xbox games, and I still have the prototype. It sits on the shelf behind my computer. Yeah, that little picture set the fucking internet on fire a couple weeks ago, you know. People were like, wait a minute, what the fuck is that? You know? But they said right now they're not going to make that happen, you know? And remember, they actually did say they were going to, they were working on a streaming device, but they kind of abandoned that as well, you know? Kind of like their version of Chromecast or something, but you know, hey, buy a new Samsung. What Samsung TVs have this shit specifically? It's not all Samsung TVs, right? It's just a specific.
No, it's a newer one. It was a particular series.
So yeah, no streaming console for you, but they said not in for a few years. For a few years means it's coming, you know. And we told you, you know, if Throwdown's still here for episode 1,000, you know, we'll be here to gloat. You know, it's interesting. All right, moving on here. Another thing. This is not exactly gaming related, but it's something Phil Spencer said, and I find it interesting. And we had a little bit of discussion about this before the show started. Xbox, Phil Spencer says the metaverse is a poorly built video game. Yeah,
it is. It looks horrible.
I agree. You got these wee fucking graphics and shit, you know. And then, I forgot it was a CEO of some other company, you know, and I agree with it. I'm like, listen, man, after I'm working all day, I'm not trying to come home to go into a fucking virtual environment, you know. It's like, you put on a headset, let me, you know, it's like, come on, bro, you know.
Well, yeah, but you like your life.
Yeah, I do like my life. That's the, yeah, exactly. But
you're not gonna go on. You're not gonna go on to Metaverse just to some fucking meeting.
Imagine if we do Throwdown on the Metaverse. Like, okay, now,
yeah, you know? We could all be floating torsos.
Yeah,
just stare under our cold dead eyes.
Yeah, right. You're looking at Casper the Ghost, no legs. You know,
we all look like the CEO of Facebook.
But they did like capture him pretty accurately. He has dead eyes too. You know.
But you know that thing was also fake too, right?
It was fake. Yeah, they remember they were touting during the presentation like, oh, we have legs now. They actually don't.
No, like, they don't actually have legs. Those versions of them, even just them talking, is not even real. That's
it was all fake.
It's animated.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's all animated stuff. They weren't in the actual using the actual thing to do that.
Yeah,
maybe the thing they is, used
during,
it to...
No, here's the thing. During the presentation, they claimed they were, but it was so obvious they weren't. You know,
no, they weren't.
It's ridiculous. Because again, I tried the MetaQuest Pro. It ain't like that. It ain't like that at all. You know.
Yeah, your arms are twisting. All the characters' arms are all twisting all over the place.
Let me see what he says here. If I think about video games, for years we've been putting people together in 3D spaces to go and save the world from invading aliens or conquering the castle. Building a metaverse that looks like a meeting room, I just find that's not where I want to spend most of my time. Yeah, exactly.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Damn, man. Zuckerberg, where you at, man?
Zuckerberg don't care about that shit.
Again, this is video games for people who don't play video games.
Yeah.
This is going after the mobile crowd.
No, but I don't even think that is even it either. I think that Meta in general does not have a focus. It's trying to do everything but does nothing well.
Oh, this is interesting. Go ahead. No. Okay, you sure?
No, go ahead.
Okay, you know Palmer Luckey, he kind of helped create the Oculus Rift or whatever. Even he thinks this is bullshit. He goes, "I don't think it's a good product. It's not fun. It's not good. I think actually most of the people probably on the team would agree that it's not a good product." It's true. The people on the actual team, because the thing is called a meta, what is it called? Meta Horizon Worlds, right? Where basically you could go with your avatars into a virtual office and, you know, do your business online or in the metaverse. Even Meta's fucking employees, they say they don't like using it because it's not that intuitive. And these are people that built the fucking thing. You know, the actual engineers behind Metaverse are like,
they're being told that
you can tell this was a Zuckerberg push, that he really wanted to do this thing.
Yeah,
because if it was somebody that actually knew what the fuck they were doing, it wouldn't be that. I can tell you that, especially with especially in that world, which is obviously so controlled. You know, I think that if you were going to make that sort of world, it's already exists with something like a Second Life.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay, this.
Imagine he surrounds himself with sycophants.
Oh, you know he does. Bunch of yes men. I never heard of this company called Improbable, but their CEO had some interesting things to say. I'm just reading this now. This is interesting. It goes, video games already work well. Video games are great closed systems of value. If you enjoy Call of Duty or World of Warcraft, they're going to keep on being fun for years to come. The metaverse is the idea, at least in my view, that you can start connecting these experiences together, and that's a lot less interesting to game companies than it is to, say, sports leagues and fashion brands. Yeah, game companies are going to be like, no, we're exactly not doing that shit, you know?
No, I mean, they already, that would mean, number one, that means that there's one location that they have to be beholden to. They have to be beholden to Facebook or Meta, as they want to be known as now. And how many of these companies really want to do that? They're doing much better having their shit, you know, running in on their own side of the on their own corner of the room, you know.
The whole metaverse thing, it's just, again, we've tried this before, you know, Second Life, PlayStation Home, people don't want that. At least as presented, it's not compelling. You know?
Companies only.
Well, here's the thing. It's not that people don't want it. I mean, again, you know, Second Life is still a community. Yeah.
I'm saying as it is, it's not compelling to a lot of people.
No, it's not really compelling. I mean, to be honest, again, it's like virtual reality. There's got to be something that you have to sell people, and if it's just a bunch of cheesy looking avatars in a room, that doesn't attract people.
Yeah.
What are you guys offering that the other guys aren't? Because it just looks like you're offering the communist version of what everybody owns, what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, you can't say I hate sandwiches just because somebody gave me a shit sub.
Yeah. it's like you know, for me, it's a, for everyone, for the other things, it's like, oh, hey, look, you could build your world. You can make your own avatars, any characters you want. Here, you can have this sort of generic looking avatar that somewhat may look like you in a world that is mostly built of licensed products that are outside there. Come on, man.
Yeah, the whole point of Second Life, as I understand it, is to get away from the real world and be something that you're not. Like, why do you want to go to a place that, like, you have to pay $2.99 for a virtual latte?
Exactly. So, yeah, like, for virtual latte, don't just hold it in your hand. Yeah, no, you're going to want to be able to have more control over your little reality.
Yeah. And Brett, you were talking about this before the show. It's like, you know, you could buy virtual real estate. How stupid is that?
It's not for the people doing it.
It's an NFT.
They're creating an artificial scarcity, which they have control over. Yeah. And they'd be like, well, there's only so much room in the metaverse. Like, you found a way to take digital, something that exists in the ether, and make a space problem with it, simply so you can come up with a solution to charge people for. It's the dumbest thing I've probably ever heard.
But people are doing, it's an NFT shit, you know?
Oh, dude, like, it should be like a fucking pocket dimension, right? Like, things in the multiverse should be way bigger inside than they are outside, but they're still going to take up huge amounts of virtual real estate. I can get it if you created an almost perfect recreation of, say, New York, and people could wander around and actually go into Macy's and buy things from Macy's online under the guise of looking like they were doing it in New York. People do that for, like, touristy shit all the time. Like, oh, I just shopped in Paris for an afternoon. Bitch, no, you didn't. You were on the internet.
Hey, you know? That is so stupid. I don't know. And again, I just find it so funny how, like, all these companies are going all in on this metaverse stuff. I guarantee you these guys don't know what the hell this shit is.
They don't think it's a good idea. They want it to be an idea. They're trying to force it. Yeah. And I think, especially in terms of with Zuckerberg, the public can tell.
Yeah. Well, are they going to try to force it like 3D TVs? Because look how well that went, you know?
Remember the
car
TV?
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to find any dissenters here. It's like, we think the metaverse is... All right. Moving on here. All right, Chris, time to shine, baby. Xbox financials for the first quarter of 2023. This is interesting.
I looked through the PowerPoint slide of the earnings call. So they had a bigger sheet, right? They had this, and I only took a passing glance at it because it's a huge Excel spreadsheet. It's broken out into multiple things, and it was really hard to find any one product. So I just used the PowerPoint because they actually labeled things in there. Unfortunately, though, for some reason they didn't put monetary value on the things. It's just a comparison year over year from Q1 last year to this year about growth or negative growth of products. So let me see if I can.
This is something we always tell people. Sony, Nintendo, they make it very easy. Microsoft, it's they don't make it easy. You figure they just have an Xbox section. No, they don't do that.
Yeah, so you see on this slide, so it's on page 12 of the slide is this page called More Personal Computing.
Yeah.
Which here it's bundled with Windows and devices, which is not just Xbox. There's a different part, which Xbox hardware actually sold positive. But if you look at this, this device revenue growth is negative, right? So you'd be confused, like, what? Wait, I thought that Xbox did well, and you're looking at this. But this is everything, right? There's like Surface and all this stuff thrown in here, so it's confusing. And then down here, this is the only line for Xbox content and service revenue growth, right? And then you look at these two percentage numbers, and you're like, what the hell does this mean, right? So there's two different ways that Microsoft is looking at their gains, their revenue changes from year over year. So there's something called GAAP, GAAP, which is I think it's good accounting principles. I forgot the full acronym. And versus constant currency. So with one in the GAAP version, you're supposed to account for all the exchange fluctuations that happen with the U.S. dollar and foreign markets and all that stuff. And with constant currency, you take an average of the entire year so that you can kind of eliminate the fluctuations in currency exchange. And sometimes that number looks better and sometimes it looks worse. So in the case of Xbox, if you look at this, it says 2% growth if you look at the kind of good accounting principles versus constant currency, you'd see zero growth, right?
Yeah.
And then it's projecting forward into what they see for going towards the future. So this is like fiscal year 2023 Q1 here. Oh, no, this is the current one.
The first one, right?
Excuse me. Yeah, no, the last one. Oh, this
okay,
is the gotcha. Current,
okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. FY23, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it actually, the gap record looks negative, right? This is negative 3%. When they put in parentheses, that means it's negative. But if you look at constant currency, it's 1%, right? So then you have to jump to slide, is this the one? Yeah, slide 20 all the way over here.
Yeah, I see.
And then you have these three lines. So gaming revenue, right? And it says gap percentage year over year, 0% growth. But the constant currency impact, it shows 4% growth. And they add these two numbers together to get the actual value or, you know, what they're going with.
Yeah.
So that's how they're getting, you get 4% growth in gaming revenue. And then you have Xbox content and service, which would include Live and, Game Pass. So you see, that's the negative 3%. But again, they calculate the whole year in constant currency, and it shows 4% growth. So overall, they're in the black. So it's positive. It's 1%. And then here's the hardware revenue just for Xbox. So that device line before is confusing because you think it's referring to Xbox, but it's not. It's referring to like all the devices that they produce.
Yeah.
Xbox hardware, you can see, is doing very well. And the gap growth percentage is 13% and the constant currency is 16%. So overall, you have a 19% growth in hardware sales of Xbox.
Nice.
And that's the best number out of that. And I mean, ignore everything else here. This is what I was joking about before. If you look at Xbox, Office commercial products revenue, negative 28%.
Damn.
Using good accounting principles, and 6%, but adding up overall is negative 22%, which is why I was joking. Like, that's not the part that they need to worry about, because I think that maybe Office commercial is not viable anymore, like buying single licenses for their products and offering the 365 solution, their cloud solution, is probably the way to go because that's in the black. So I could see them doing away with ever packaging Office on, you know, for a single license purchase or version, and just pushing people to just sign up for a 365. Everything else in there, they're doing well. I don't know what commercial bookings is. I looked at this first line. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
They have their hands in so many things that it's like, all right, I just need to focus on Xbox. And these are the only two slides that have any data. If you go to the other stuff, like I could show you their earnings, but this is as a company, right?
Yeah.
These numbers are for all of Microsoft. So this doesn't help us. Like, this is not relatable. It's like Microsoft as a company is doing extremely well. What does that mean for Xbox? You know, just like I showed you, if you just said, well, how's Office doing? Well, if you look at Office commercial, it's doing terrible. But if you look at Office 365, it's doing great. If you looked at LinkedIn, it's doing great. And if you look at Xbox hardware, it's doing great. Other part, content and service, not so much. But the gaming revenue overall is positive. So, but again, they had, let me find the slide where they kind of explained a little bit how Xbox was doing. Was it here? Yeah, gaming. Here we go.
There it is.
So gaming revenue grew slightly, up 4% using constant currency. Xbox content service revenue declined 3%, but overall up 1% with using the constant currency, driven by declines in first-party content and in third-party content, with lower engagement hours and higher monetization partially offset by growth in Xbox Game Pass subscriptions.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then Xbox hardware revenue grew 13%, and then overall 19%. So that's basically it. But you could see what the interesting part about that is, like, they admit, like, they have a decline in first party content. You need to actually make some to get sales with first party content. But their third party sales are not doing so well either. And it says with lower engagement, meaning less hours played, or not playing on there, and then higher monetization, which is, I don't know if that means what the publishers are charging them or what they have to pay out in licensing. I'm not sure. And I didn't listen to the call, right? No one got time for that. Because, you know, they're going to talk about Azure and all the stuff that's doing great, and like 5 minutes of that freaking 2-hour call is going to be about Xbox, and I'm not going to sift through that.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Yeah. But that's how they're doing. Overall, Xbox is doing well. This is something they need to work on. They need games. They need freaking games. This is, they're admitting it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Game Pass is doing well, and it's great that they're getting licenses, but they have to pay out a lot for those. But overall, it's in the black, right? But what else is missing? Missing first party titles. You know, yeah. So that's where they're deficient.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've been saying forever. It's like Xbox Game Pass, great service, but where's the games?
Yeah. So that's it. Unfortunately, like, yeah, through the rest of this is not relevant to throw down fans. So
yeah, we don't need to worry about that. Thanks for parsing through that as always, and I'm hoping that the Sony and Nintendo ones are coming up soon, because all these kind of come usually around the same time.
Yeah, so not next week, but the week after, Nintendo will release their 6 months earnings. And I'm assuming either before that or that week, Sony will release theirs, right? So I'll have a look at those.
Sony. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah, Xbox, you need some games. You need some games. You know?
Yo, how many studios do they own? You gotta get on. And Halo is a bust. Like, nobody, like, talk about low engagement. I don't care what you do to Infinite. I don't care what you add to it. People are done. They're done with that one. You screwed that up from the jump.
Yeah, I think Infinite at this point is beyond saving. Like, again, I could be wrong. We've seen some games come back, obviously, but I think that one in particular. Here's the thing. Halo in general was already on the decline. Just before all this nonsense, it hasn't been, you know, think about it, Call of Duty killed that shit already. But this isn't helping, you know? Because think about those games that did come back. They're new IPs, or were new IPs, right? No Man's Sky, Sea of Thieves, right? They were all new IPs. So, you know, Halo, I don't know, man, but good stuff. All right, what do we have here? A couple more stories before we wrap up here. This one's kind of funny. The Callisto Protocol was banned in Japan because it's too violent, right? And the developers like, fuck that. We're not changing shit.
Yep. They're actually offering refunds, which is pretty nice of them, to all the people that pre-ordered it in Japan.
Wait, how do you get too violent for Japan?
Well, if you haven't been paying attention to Brett, Japan has been very harsh on video games since the 2000s.
No, I get that, but just like, we've all seen the anime that they come up with, like, where the fuck do you guys get off?
Yeah, well, the thing is that the PEGI system is very, very, it's not as strict. It's not, yeah, was it?
Seto. They use Seto.
Yes, Seto is very strict when it comes to game. Even Kojima has been complained about it during the development of Metal Gear 5. You know, Metal Gear Peace Walker, they were really harsh on him when it came to doing like a torture sequence in the game. It was supposed to be a teen sort of type of game, but that torture scene almost got him an M for mature, even though there's no blood in that game, you know, or their equivalent of it. So it makes sense that they would be like, okay. And also, Japan is very what do they call it? They're very sensitive when it comes to dismemberment. if you notice a lot of the games that over there, they don't have games that where you dismember people, and I think that's what the biggest issue is. Funny part of this is though, apparently, you know, to give you an idea of the rating system. So Australia is probably the most notoriously harsh, you know, like heavy-handed when it comes to ratings. Apparently, Callisto Protocol has a higher adult rating compared to Dead Space, which some are speculating that maybe Dead Space has been, some of the violence has been lessened.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting if people compare the first one, you know, the real Dead Space to the new one, see if it got toned down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I just find that very funny, because they had the chance of editing the game or whatever for Japan. They're like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, you realize the changes they probably wanted might have been massive, you know? Yeah. It might have been just not worth the effort.
Yeah, if anything, they would have probably had to add an additional development for time for the amount of changes they wanted in the game. Or just blur it. you know, do those really lousy blurs that they do, Japanese blurs that they do.
So it says Tokyo-based analyst Dr. Serkan Toto explained on Twitter that Japan's game censorship has gotten a lot worse since local rating agency Seto was established in 2002. There you go. Game censor for nudity and violence in Japan include The Last of Us, Cyberpunk, Uncharted 1, Witcher 3, GTA 5, etc. Needless to say, censorship also affects homemade games, Resident Evil. So yeah, there you go.
They're being very heavy-handed when it comes to that sort of violence and that sort of stuff. So, but those weird dating games somehow managed to get through. I guess because there's no nudity in those games, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, in Japan, actually, a lot of the world, because the West is. West America, right? We are all about the violence, hyper violence all day, every day. But you see one nipple, motherfuckers go crazy, right? But the rest of the world is the other way around. Nudity, they're cool with violence. They're like, you know, a little squeamish on, you know?
More love, less fighting.
That's typically how it works in the rest of the world, you know? Really, it was like, is that a nipple? I'm offended. Cut that motherfucker's head off, you know? this is interesting. It is also important to understand that sometimes Japanese games get two releases, one cut and one quote-unquote gory version. The gory version typically sells better. The problem is that the gory version, which usually carries Seto's strictest Z rating for ages 18 and plus, is also censored when compared to the Western release. Wow. Yes. So even the gory version is still censored.
Yep. I mean... What's probably going to happen is a lot of Japanese people, you know, the Japanese people that want to play that game are probably going to import the game over. Yeah. Here's the thing, like, they probably still localized it and everything.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that in Germany where they replaced the color red for green, for blood and stuff like that for a lot of games? Or was that also Australia?
Yeah, it was for Germany, it was... violence, like, so you know, like, bloody games got turned into robots and things, and they changed the color of the blood, and they're also obviously very sensitive about things that talk about the about World War II, especially when it comes to, you know, or, you know, what's his face, Mr. Hitler and all that junk. So they usually censor all of that stuff in Germany as well. So, like, the new order, one of the later Wolfenstein games where he actually shows up in it, they removed his mustache and they got rid of all the paraphernalia. So, you obviously know what it is, but you don't know what it is. They got rid of all of it.
We don't know what happened between 1939 and 1945. We don't know.
It's only like the way they sort of see it. It's only if it's for an entertainment, they will not. They will not approve it when it comes to that sort of content. But if it's a historical value, if they're trying to tell the true story of what happened then they'll leave that stuff alone.
Even though it's, as I learned, they alter some things. Like when they talk about World War II, they don't really get in into detail about German battles because, you know, Germany was kicking the shit out of Europe for a while. So they didn't want it to seem like they were, you know, like a glorious thing, you know? So they kind of just downplay the battles and stuff, you know?
I mean, it's, to be honest, it's what Japan does when it comes to talking about World War II as well.
You know, meanwhile, we're over here like, yeah, man, D-Day, motherfucker, let's go, you know?
I want to know, who cleaned up D-Day? Who was in charge of that cleanup? That must have been horrible.
Seagulls.
That's just from, no, but that's the thing. There's still, like, bombs and things, and then the mines that were put there. Like, who went in there to clean all that? That's...
You should look into that YouTube, you know?
Yeah, that's got to be a thing. Like, I still wouldn't trust it. Like, hey, you want to go play Frisbee on the beach over there? No.
You know? Like, now, how about you go first, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Crazy shit. All right. And speaking about war, the last story we got here, Call of Duty. Interesting stuff. So apparently, if you buy the game disc, it's only 72 megabytes on that shit. You got to download the whole game for
100. Oh!
This disc only has 72 megabytes.
Fucking glorified key.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's all it is. Because the only thing I can think of, because it's massive. Those games are always massive. But they're not doing parts. At least throw the campaign or something on it. But no, I guess it's something they can't do.
I suspect that they also were running all the way up to the end. You know, in other words, they were still developing the game, and they're probably said, "All right, we'll just put the thing that leads you to the launcher, or what, because we still need to keep developing this game, and we need to put it out." You know. It's, you know, gold these days doesn't actually mean gold anymore, as Cyberpunk says.
Yeah, man,
that's horrible.
It just means getting something on the disc.
Can you
whether it's a launcher or a broken ass game?
Let's fast forward. I don't know, even if the Earth is still around here in like 300 years, and somebody finds, look what I got. I got a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2022. Put it in. I got the device that plays it. And it's like, please connect to service. No.
Well, this is what, you know, I've been saying this forever, right? Like, in the future, if you buy, you know, a copy of Super Mario Brothers and you find a working Nintendo, you're still going to be able to play that, right? Imagine trying to play Fallout 3. You know, you're not going to be able to download all that shit, you know, to get the game to run. So, yeah, this is the future y'all asked for, you know, it's crazy.
This is your digital future.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
We're going to need a next gen pirate where they can hack into that and be able to circumvent the online firewall.
We still can't get PlayStation 3 games. 300 years in the future.
Can't get this to work.
There's a Dyson sphere that has a supercomputer that's all just powered by a Dyson sphere that still can't play PS3 game. Oh shit.
Less than 30 frames per second and and at 720p, and we still can't get a consistent frame rate.
Oh, my God. I'm still thinking about that whole Gotham Knights situation. Even on PC, it's running all fucked up.
I don't know why I'm surprised. Remember that Arkham Knight got pulled for like a year on PC, remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was so bad that they just pulled it and refunded everybody. They're like, all right, forget it.
Wait, so that begs the question.
What's up?
So then how bad was it on last gen?
Lock
it at 30 for next. Yeah.
No, remember, they canceled the last gen version. I think there's a reason why, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. If the next gen, the PS5 Series X, was locked to 30, it must have been unplayable on the older one. That's what they had to do.
Probably, yeah.
That's be pure garbage. They're like, yo, we can't even get this thing to stutter.
They're like, yo, we don't want what happened with Cyberpunk. Cancel that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Warner Brothers Montreal just doesn't make games that are very good.
Was Arkham Knight Rocksteady, or was that already?
That's them. Yeah,
that was Rocksteady. Yeah.
Arkham Knight is them.
They didn't do Origins.
Arkham Origins is these guys.
Yeah.
Which one? So Arkham Knight was the one that had the issues on PC, or was it Origins?
Yeah, it was Arkham Knight had the issues on PC. It's because they purely just developed the game for consoles.
Got it.
Shit is crazy.
You know, if we're out of topics, I have a random ass question.
Sure. Oh, shit.
If you know, when you stack a whole bunch of documents that you're going to staple together, Do you staple it on the top left corner or on the top right corner?
Left.
Dealer top left, so that way you can read, because people turn pages like a book.
Ah, yeah, this ain't Japan, you know?
Yeah, that is true. It's because I haven't stapled stuff in years, so I kind of forgot.
What are you doing with paper? Damn, you have a stapler?
I assume that your text is left aligned, so it makes sense to put it on the top left.
Yeah, that is definitely an observation that I should have made. But I thought, might as well ask the people and get there. Yeah,
you should throw them for a loop and just staple on the bottom right.
Right, why not?
And I'm with Brett here. Like, what the hell are you doing with paper these days?
Right?
Yeah.
Can you get paper cuts and stuff? Come on now. I don't do this.
That's an occupational hazard, man.
Yeah,
exactly. It is definitely an occupational hazard. Yep.
Shoot, when I go for my reviews, my manager's like, you'll see it in the email. We don't even have a paper in front of us. Like, he just like goes in brief and it's like, all right, the rest is in an email. Goodbye.
That's it.
But you don't read our emails, man. You only read the Sony and the Xbox.
I read too many emails actually from the Discord for Throwdown. Almost every message gets sent to me in the email.
Why do you gotta disable that shit?
I've showed you that shit, which is funny because I am not the admin for it. But for some reason, I showed you that. Remember,
I don't get those emails.
I didn't know that was a feature.
I didn't know that either. Of course, Adam would. Of course, Adam would miss the email. You know,
it just Gmail's like, you know what? I think he wants to know
this. It's already assumes
he gets everything else. I think we hook him up. You connected it with
your Xbox Live account, and then Dutch just gave him the info. He's like, yeah, this dude, he likes to communicate via email.
He's a power user for the email,
crazy.
I actually have final question, and this is very, very topical.
Even throw on your questions, man. What the fuck are you doing?
It makes sense because it's very topical. So with the price of everything going up, there's only one thing I care about that has not been announced if it's going up or not, and I have to ask the question. Will the price of the Happy Place be going up?
Whoa.
No, it will not.
There we go. And that's all that matters.
There you go.
That is it. You know what? That's the reason for the Happy Place, because the world has gone to poop.
Yeah. You know what? Before we go, Adam, I know you have some thoughts on the reviews of Call of Duty. I know.
Because it's too early. I hate when they do this shit. Well, for other games, not so much with this game, because this was the first. They're doing this whole 1 week early for the campaign. And, they thought they were helping out the community. Instead, it just backfired. Because the whole point is that a lot of people don't play the campaign. They used to put in all this time, money, getting big name actors for these campaigns, and no one cared, right? Anybody who plays with on Xbox or PlayStation, you'll know you get to like level 3 or 4, and then that Chivo or Trophy pops as rare. And it's like, come on now. This is like early in the game. People just don't play it. That's not a focal point. So they're like, all right, we'll split this up into 3 parts. So you got the campaign, then you got the multiplayer, and then you got Warzone after that. They're all like weeks apart. And I was really surprised that a lot of these outlets were just ripping on the campaign, but then throwing it as a whole for the game itself. They're like, oh, this is a horrible game. First, it's just a campaign. You may not be wowed by the campaign, but you can't throw everything under the bus. Because then if you're doing that, then you're really telling us that you have no plan to play in the multiplayer. When at least, 80%, because then maybe even less, because I think the majority now is Warzone. But a large majority of people that play Call of Duty just play in a multiplayer. They play with their boys. I mean, that's where the money is, or else Uncle Phil wouldn't want this shit. What? Is this a campaign? People just want single player? Yeah, and it's always been short. And that's the other argument people were telling me, because a lot of people know that I play Call of Duty. It's like, well, I heard it was short. I'm like, yeah, did you hear about the last one? No. Well, is that one short? All of them are short. They're all short. They don't give you 20-hour adventures. You know, the only one that could have been that long was Call of Duty Cold War, and that's because there's multiple endings. So you just got to replay that short mission over a few times, get the different end. But I was just really shocked by that. It's too soon. It's like, tomorrow it comes out. You got the multiplayer, and that's going to be a big to-do with all of it. And how does that work? Because that's what the majority of people that play Call of Duty are concerned about. Can they run around? Can they prestige up? Can they get their little chotskis and their camos? If so, then they're happy. The campaign, they could care less. But I saw all these outlets just throwing everything under the bus. Yeah, couldn't care. There you go. Yeah, couldn't care less. It's just throwing it under the bus. And it's like, fine, you don't like the campaign. Don't say the whole game, though, because that's just one portion. And that's not even the key part. Now, if it was zombies, different story. lot of people live on zombies as well. But what does that have in common with multiplayer? Well, it's co-op. It gives you that opportunity to play with others. And people like to play with others. Campaign, you can't do that. I think they're going to add the Spec Ops stuff. At least that was one of the source codes that somebody ripped up when they got the beta. They just ripped it apart and they found some other code in there that showed. It could be old code. Who knows? You know. And if, for those who don't remember, that was in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. And it was like co-op for you and your buddies, but like campaign co-op. But it was like special missions that you can do, which is cool. Yo.
A lot of people in the chat have been saying that you're getting a heck of a lot of a defensive when it comes to Call of Duty.
Oh,
because I like Call of Duty. I believe in Call of Duty, and I don't think people should poo-poo it for the campaign. Yeah, oh, definitely. And what did I say? But what did I say?
Though? The best one yet, man.
No. But I didn't say,
you say that every year.
That's not what I said. No, Vanguard, I definitely didn't say that. I didn't like it at all. And even in my review, I didn't say that. No.
Different.
What did I say for this one? This one is definitely different because of the third-person mode. Third-person multiplayer and third-person Warzone. That opens up the whole new world for microtransactions for Activision, because now you see the full body just like you do on Fortnite. You couldn't see that before. Now you do. So I'm sure we're going to see all kinds of craziness. But the controls, it feels responsive. It's a cool way. It's not just like, oh, we just half-assed like a Fallout. You know, you press the button and sort of...
Whoa, careful.
No, it didn't look right. The third person didn't look right. That mode never really played right. I prefer playing first person Fallout. Right. But this, you got the cover system. You look down the sight; it goes in the first person view. It worked. It was solid. I enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to that. So if anything, I'm going to spend a lot more time doing the third person, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. But man, they just upset me with all of that. And that wasn't just me. There was a lot of other people in the community attacking the site. So like, yo, you could say this poo pooing, but you got to just void out the obvious. Just say it's a small campaign like all the others. This is not a one. They're all short.
Yo, Brett.
Yep.
Have you heard that Fallout 4 is getting a next-gen update?
I did. I'm a bit confused by it. Kind of seems like a little... Well, I mean, I guess games are becoming more and more... have a longer and longer lifespan, but still, it's like, really? You're going to boost Fallout 4? I mean, all right. We're still playing Fallout 4.
Here's something for all of you that has Steam Deck. Have you ever noticed when you connect to the network, when you look at them, you see in the little top corner, it shows a little update. A lot of your older games are getting patches to work better with the Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah. They eat up all my fucking bandwidth.
It eats up. And then, but you'll see like the little checkbox start popping up for old ass games. That was some old game that I definitely knew wasn't working great. And I'm like, whatever. It is what it is. And then when I was looking at my update history, that shit got patched and now got a checkbox. I was like, whoa.
Brian.
What up?
Witcher 1 remake thoughts.
See, that's the thing. I've been hearing this just floating around, and is it an actual remake by the actual studio, or is it just like a fan remake?
CD Projekt Red, they tweeted that from the actual account. So this is real. It's not a rumor. They're teaming up with some other company. I never heard of them to make this happen.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, but it's real. CD Projekt Red tweeted this out. I believe it was the Witcher account specifically that tweeted that out.
Sure, go for it. The first game is it's one of those games that people didn't really know existed because it was kind of poo-poo. So it'd be great if they actually did let's actually redo this thing and do it right, like the Witcher 2, 3 standards. So yeah, go for it. Let's see. Because I feel like if you're doing like a remake,
using Unreal Engine 5 too, Brian, by the way,
that's what I heard. So I thought it was just like a fan remake. Why I didn't pay. So, okay, cool. Yeah, if there's a bad game that's just really horrible and doesn't make sense, and they remake it, then I'm all for that because you can't really have a really shitty game in a good series of games. So yeah, go for it.
The studio that's remaking this is
Fool's Theory.
Fool's Theory. Never heard of them.
I guess they must be like a I don't know. What do they do?
I'm looking at their site right now. 7 Drowned Past, 7 Enhanced Edition, Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay, so they do ports. Oh, they're also Polish.
Divinity Original Sin 2. Wait, what?
They probably worked on those games. Remember, you know, it's not just one company that works on games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it says Fool's Theory is a collective of AAA veterans who share a simple philosophy, unbridled passion, and flexible process, and it's the perfect combo for crafting great game.
And they're make money.
Other Polish, yeah. So yeah, I guess they're like a Polish like Blue Point or something, you know. And then Brian, my other question to you is, because people have been telling me you got to play The Witcher 3, Witcher 3, but I'm like, I should play Witcher 2. Should I wait until this remake and then start playing all of them?
I don't know. I've never played the first one. I just heard about it. So it's up to you. But even then, if you just go into 3, like, you'll get more out of 3 if you played 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you can still enjoy 3 as a standalone.
Yeah. By the way, everybody that I know who has played 1 or just wants me to play Witcher, they all go, do not play 1. They all say the same thing. They said it's a good, you know, it's a cool game, but the gameplay is terrible, you know? So I guess the story's cool, you can tell that it's like, you know?
Yeah, you can tell it's like the first time doing that stuff. It's quite rough. Yeah, I only jumped on Witcher 2, so, and I only play that for a bit.
I guess that's why they're doing it. It's sort of like what happened with I forgot the name of the developers that did Mafia, remember? And they just did that definitive for 1, 2, and 3, but 1 got the most work, and that's the one that took the longest. They changed their gameplay mechanics to match it with 3. They added a new navigation system linked for the streets, so when you're driving, you see arrows and stuff like on the street signs. They did a lot of work because the first one was rough.
By the way, today, this is related. I learned a new term. Brian, let me know if you heard of this. Eurojank. Have you heard of this term before?
Yes.
Yes.
Here's the funny thing about this. I never heard this term, but when I saw what it was, I'm like, oh, those type of games. So I knew the type of games. I just didn't know they were called Eurojank. I guess The Witcher 1 would fall into that category, a game that was almost there, but it reached a little too far and didn't quite make it.
And his cousin Eurocar.
Yeah. I'll read it. As the name implies, a subcategory of games that would come to be known as Eurojank primarily describes ridiculously ambitious games that punch well above their weight, albeit without the extra layer of polish that is usually afforded a genuine AAA game. Greedfall. Yeah, that is Eurojank by that definition. Good game, but you could have been a little bit more polished. Like, you were trying, you guys tried, but, you know.
And just, you know. Yeah.
Cyberpunk might fall into that category, to be honest, you know?
What a game. Do the Lionhead Studios count as Eurojank since Brexit?
Yeah, right. Biomutant, yeah, that does count. Sniper Ghost Warrior Elite. Necromundo, what the fuck? Snow Rider. Mountain Blade 2.
Snow Rider, people love that.
Wasn't, yeah, so... That's Eurojank. So there you go.
That's with the cars going like driving around the mountains and
that's probably just jank. Yeah, it's just jank, you know. But again, they're not bad games. It's just like, yeah, you tried to go to the moon and you know you kind of fell down, or maybe like Icarus, right? Try to fly too close to the sun, you know, you melt. You know, Manny Shirt's inspiring me right now.
From his wings turned to ashes, yeah. His grave.
Hey, you got the shirt.
Yes, I did.
Nice. Good stuff. All right. All right, people, we are done here. Another good show. Do we have anything to plug?
Nothing to plug this week. But I think coming up, I'm going to be doing another Extra Life session with Dave Wonder on his channel. He's going to be doing a 24-hour stream. I still haven't chosen the time that I'm going to be coming on, but I'm going to do that coming up pretty soon.
Cool. Adam, you got anything? Mothership?
Man. Walking Dead, man. 3 more episodes left. This is it, people. This is it. Why are you laughing, Carlos? Why are you laughing?
You definitely, you know, from all the past episodes we recorded, you definitely do not sound as enthusiastic about the show as at least, you know, collectively.
I'm excited now because this is coming to an end, and they have to do something. They have to do
They're not going
to
do nothing. You know what this is going to happen?
Don't spoil it.
It's probably what's this, Rick is going to come back and
that's not enough. That's not enough. That's what I'm saying. That's no. We only have 3 episodes, so that something has to pop up. We got to see them because it's been really dragging ass for these episodes, which is disappointing because it's like the last 8 episodes just banging out balls to the wall. No, they're not doing that. Real boring. So anyway, It's a I Am Negan. It's our podcast. Myself, Rich Biller Jr., and Carlos Romero cover all things Walking Dead, Walking Dead proper, and then we got Fear the Walking Dead, Dead City, and all the other ones. There's so many spinoffs coming up. But I have a feeling if this bombs, if this really bombs, then I could just see all the other tanking as well. Because that shows if there's no interest in Mothership toward the end, then there's not going to be an interest for the damn spinoff. So, but we're on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Check it out. I Am Negan.
I do have a question for you, Adam.
What?
As the host and the leader of the show, if The Walking Dead proper, aka the Mothership, does not have a good landing or does not have a good send off, would you still be interested in doing the spinoff? I Am Negan.
Yeah, no, I'm still gonna cover it until they end this shit. Until there's no more Walking Dead.
That's going to be after we die.
That's until, well, who knows, baby, right? I'll be by myself. And that's it. It'll be me and that one chick from Australia, and that's it. She's the only one listening. I'm like, oh, I remember you, Gina. I did. Yeah. You know, but this is it. I really think, though, if this falls apart, if the ratings are just horrible, because then it's also a message to the actors that are still linked to all this. Like, hey, should I keep renewing for all these side things? Let me see. Any other projects? Yeah, I got a few. You know what? I think I could walk away now. Because that's the whole thing with Norman Reedus. He's like, yo, I'm a lifer. This really put him on the map. But if it starts tanking, then he does that other spinoff, and that's like horrible. No one's watching. And then like, hey, you want to do another season? Now I'm good. I think I ran my course. I think this is it. So,
end of an era, man. End of an era.
Comes to an end, and then it'll come back in like 10 years or whatever, and with a reboot. And
pop so, up on, yeah, you're gonna reboot I Am Negan too, you know?
There we go. You know? It'll be somebody else over there. They won't have Negan, they'll have somebody. I Am Judith.
Oh, shit.
I hope she dies. I really hope she dies.
You keep saying this.
I keep saying it because they need something tragic, they need something impactful, and that's the only impact I can see happening. Right now, if they want a reaction and they want a buzz, which I doubt it because they only have 3 episodes left. If that was the case, they should have did that with the returning episode for this 8th one. They should have had some massive happen. Somebody die or get amputated or something. Someone that someone cares about. None of that. So I doubt it. But I think Judith dying would have been fine. And it doesn't ruin the story because they're still sticking with the comic pretty much. Because she didn't make it. She died in the womb. So
you know, for anyone that's enjoyed this, the past couple of minutes of conversation, you can look forward to having more of that in I Am Negan on Spotify, iTunes, and The Coalition with a K on YouTube, thecoalition.com.
A little taste of the zombie, a little infected zombie take. All right, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. You're in a Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Throwdown is on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show towards Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when the premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Aces.
And Brian Monjoma.
Later, people.
All right. Don't go watch Black Adam.
But definitely go find Gangs of London. That's the John Wick series. Holy crap. So brutal. Go watch that,
people. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.
Latest.
Laters.